So in the Pharisaic worldview, Sheol is not so much a literal place as a state of being dead, and since the body and the neshama are separated at the point of death, Sheol can be spoken of in either terms. So let me put it this way. Sheol depends on what we're talking. Are we talking flesh or are we talking spirit? Are we talking body or are we talking soul? If we're talking body, Sheol is just the grave. It's just the tomb, ashes to dust. It's the human body in Sheol, that is death, and the human body in Sheol, being dead, neither knows, speaks, nor praises God. There's no memory, he's not remembered, there's no reward, there's no punishment. He shares the same fate as every man and every animal from a human perspective, from a body, physical perspective, that is Sheol. But Sheol of the soul is completely the opposite. And to illustrate this, I'm going to point you to a very unusual text that it's not fair to call it a Pharisaic text. It's a little bit outside even of that, but it was highly influential, and that is the apocryphal book of Enoch. Important book which more or less reflects common first century Jewish beliefs about the unseen world. And let's see, our master and the apostles were always alluding to it, speaking of it, and it was enormously influential. Even though it's apocryphal. So you know how it works. You've read a little bit of Enoch. Enoch gets a guided tour of the unseen world, the heavens, and so forth. And as he does, there's one chapter where he's allowed to see Sheol. Now this is an apocryphal vision. It's not concrete information. It's not intended rigidly literal. It's like Revelation, you know? It's like, those scorpions with the human heads really have women's hair or not? You know, it's not necessarily concrete in that sense of, being hyper-literal with it, whatever. But in Enoch chapter 22, the angel Raphael is taking Enoch to a great high mountain of hard rock that rises up where? In the west. And inside that mountain, he finds four hollow places. Actually, one big hollow place divided into four hollows, deep, wide, smooth walled. Why are those walls so smooth? So you can't scale your way out, I'm thinking. Anyway, the angel explains that the hollow places have been created for human souls. So this is how the text reads. He says, these hollow places have been created for this very purpose, that the spirits of the souls of the dead should assemble therein, yea, that all the souls of the children of men should assemble here. And these places have been made to receive them till the day of their judgment, and till their appointed period, the appointed time, till the great judgment comes upon them. All right, so we stop right here. According to what I'm reading in the book of Enoch, which is a book that the apostles knew and the master also knew, in Jewish eschatology, the dead do not go immediately to judgment. Instead, they go to Sheol, where they await judgment. Enoch looks into the hollow places and he sees the spirits of the children of men, and he asks the angel why they are separated into different chambers. The angel explains to him, one chamber is set aside for the righteous. This is the nice one. It has a spring of bright water flowing in it. The other three chambers are set aside for different types of sinners. One has sinners who did not suffer any judgment for their sins in this lifetime. They had it good. They suffer in pain and torment until the day of judgment for the retribution of their spirits when they will be bound forever. One has sinners who did suffer in their lifetimes. They make claim and suit about how they suffered injustice and were slain in the days of sinners. So they're lodging a suit with God. And the last chamber contains the spirits of criminals and sinners who will not be slain in judgment or raised hence. That's the way that the book puts it. So these sort of seem like the in between or something. Anyway, don't worry about the details of these four chambers and who is in which chamber. I just want to draw some broad implications from Enoch. Number one, Sheol is the place of the dead and it's a waiting room. Number two, the dead in Sheol are separated from one another into separate zones. The righteous and the wicked, with perhaps an indeterminate group as well. And number three, the dead have not yet been judged. They are waiting for judgment. Nevertheless, while they wait, the righteous and the wicked are already receiving reward and punishment. These three observations from Enoch chapter 22 characterize the teaching of the Pharisees regarding the state of the dead and heaven and hell. Later in the book of Enoch, you read about the day of judgment when the elect one, the Messiah, takes his seat on the throne of God, and all the dead are recalled from Sheol from judgment. Listen to this. This is from Enoch 50:51. Just kind of cool. In those days shall the earth also give back that which has been entrusted to it, and Sheol also shall give back that which it has received. And hell shall give back that which it owes. That's Gehenna shall give back that which it owes. For in those days, the elect one shall arise. The Messiah will arise. All of this is fairly consistent with Pharisaic Jewish views from the days of the apostles. So Sheol is not hell. It's the grave. That is the physical state of being dead. And it is the metaphysical place of the dead, a repository for human souls until the resurrection. It appears in the New Testament as Hades. We're all up to speed here? So far? So far, so good? No? No questions, please. According to the belief of the Pharisees, the lower chambers of Sheol, that is Hades in the New Testament Greek, contain a section called, what's in the cellar? Gehenna. So we're just making sure we're all tracking here. So technically, Gehenna, the place of torment, is in Sheol, but here's the funny part, so is paradise. Who expected that? Now, unfortunately, the influential King James version of the New Testament translated both Hades and Gehenna with the same English word, hell. So you might be in Sheol and not in Gehenna, but the King James still puts you in hell. The word hell seems to arise from an old Anglo-Saxon word describing the shadowy realm of the dead. We don't really know. The various etymologies are suggested, but the word is related to some Indo-European base that is the root for the word hall. You can hear the similarity in English between hell and hall. It's the same idea, a hall. It's some place to hang out and wait for the speaker to finish. So speaking precisely then, Gehenna is a region of Sheol. However, I mean, that would be easy. That's like something concrete, something concrete that you could just lay hold of and say, okay, Gehenna is not Sheol. Rather, Gehenna is a compartment in Sheol. Only one problem. Confusion of terms happens in rabbinic literature as well. So, in rabbinic literature, we have a passage like this. The Talmud says, Gehenna has seven names. The first one is Sheol. Sheol, Abaddon, pit of destruction, pit of misery, miry clay, shadow of death, and underworld. These are the names of Gehenna, according to the Talmud. These are all taken from the Psalms. And then you get a passage after passage of proof text from the Psalms. For our purposes, though, we're going to try to keep them separate.